Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Follow us on Twitter at Midday 180. And you should also follow Dan Orlovsky at Dan Orlovsky 7. A must follow. We all do it. Great breakdowns on film. And we hope he'll keep those coming. He's now with ESPN. Well earned and well deserved. Dan, congrats on that, man. What's up?
What's going on, bud? Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
I don't think your little breakdown of the Titans' first touchdown got retweeted enough. My timeline was filled with a billion retweets of that. So very, very popular here.
That's a good stuff, man. It was a cool play to watch, and I know fans love it, so that's awesome.
Well, let's start there. Detail what you posted on social media for us. The first touchdown in the play design, why Nick Williams was significant in the play concept.
Yeah, so the play in itself, I mean, offensive football and really down in the red zone, it's really all about like doing such little things that separates teams. And so the play, you know, genesis has been around for a couple years in the NFL, and teams have refined it and whatnot depending on their personnel. So you're going to take three receivers, put them to one side, and then one receiver and put him by himself. It doesn't necessarily have to be a receiver. I can see the Titans taking a guy like Delanie Walker and putting him by himself, and really, that single receiver becomes like an alert to your quarterback. Hey, if you get man-to-man and you love and you want to throw a slant or a fade, go at it. You know, we used to do that with Calvin back in the day with the Lions. And then to this three-receiver side, we were trying to figure out, teams are trying to figure out a play that you could have that was good against like a man-to-man defense, but then also a combo or a brackets middle field open defense. You know, because you can see a lot of those two forms down in the red zone in the NFL. And so they take the guy closest to the quarterback, the number three receiver, and they put him on like a little stick, a little out and up towards basically the crossbar. And then the outside receiver, the farthest guy, takes like this one-step slant. And so that middle receiver, who is Nick Williams, his job is two things. One, he's got to figure out very quickly if it's man or zone defense. Because if it's man, he's really doing a job to get the outside receiver open. He's running interference, basically. And you've got to be really smart and be able to think on your feet very quickly. So the ball snap and he sees it's man, he wants to peek to the outside corner. And if that corner is driving that receiver down towards inside the ball, like back towards the ball, he knows it's man. And his job is just to get in the way, make that corner hesitate for 1 second. Quarterback will drive the ball on the outside receiver running that quick slant. Well, if it's zone, if he turns his head and sees that corner just kind of hanging, he knows it's zone. He's got to be really, really patient, push to the corner for a couple yards, and then wrap back towards the football. So it was just a really nice job of Nick Williams doing his job, being aware of what his roles were, and then getting in the way of the corner of opening up that touchdown.
I don't believe there was any motion before the snap there, and I'm thinking that's part of trying to be semi-vanilla in the preseason. Do you envision that play being run with motion more often than not?
Well, it's hard to run it with motion because it's an easy play to determine before the snap, where if you take that a single receiver and you just tell your quarterback, you're going to tell Mariota, listen, if you want it, throw it. That's a yes or a no. If you like that and it's a yes before the snap, that ball gets thrown. If it's a no, it's a pure progression read on the front side. The quarterback is going to read that one-step slant to the tight end on his little stick or his little out route and up towards the crossbar, and then that return route or that out and back inside towards Nick Williams. And it's when you bring motion into play, you could bring different bodies in. It could change the coverage. It's a lot for a quarterback to think about. So I see it a lot run from stationary positions, but just moving guys, you know, in and out, who's going to be that single receiver and whatnot. It's more of a stationary concept that you can get to quickly than a motion one.
Nick Williams, not particularly dynamic, knows the offense from Washington and Atlanta. Getting more of a chance now with Michael Campanaro on the shelf with an unknown injury. Campanaro not particularly dynamic either. How much can littler shiftier, non-dynamic players excel in these spots in a LaFleur offense?
Oh, they're huge. They're huge. I mean, every time I've been in this offense, we've had one of those kind of, okay, he's not this burner and he's not huge, but he finds ways to get open. And that's the really big thing is this offense and a lot of offenses, but this offense, there's two kinds of receivers. Guys who can just, you know, take shots, you know, those 22, 24, 40-yard shots down the field, those guys, or guys who just get open underneath. And that's really the basis of the pass game of this offense. And Nick Williams and Campanero, two of those guys that you really, they're just guys that you want really to get open inside of 5 yards from the line of scrimmage. Find ways to get open. You trust their leverage. You trust their instincts to run off of DBs and just get those very, what we call completion plays. And so there's places for guys like that. At the end of the day, can you get open? I don't care what you look like, what you run, all that stuff. Can you find ways to consistently get open? We had a guy in Houston, David Anderson, who looked a lot like Campanero and Nick Williams, and he would just find ways to get open. And we had a running joke that on third down, we would just trot David onto the field and be like, okay, get open. And it was a joke, but in a way, it was very real. He would just find ways to beat his defender. I also think, you know, which one of those two guys is going to be able to be part of their run game? You know, the cutoff backsides. Who's going to be willing to do some of that dirty work of cutting off a backside end or a backside backer? That's probably going to be the separating factor for if one of those guys and who will be a part of that team. But there's definitely a role for that, you know, guy on first and second down that can consistently get that 5 yard completion.
Dan Orlovsky, now with ESPN, he joins us here on the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's.
This has not traditionally been a screen team, so the stuff they're installing, I know, is going to take time. I saw several plays in the game, and they did well on screens, but mostly late with third stringers, where I saw offensive linemen get out in front, which looked great, but then find nobody to hit or not influence. Maybe somebody had to run around them, so the route took a little bit longer for them to get to the ball carrier. How much time will it take until we see guys not just get out, but get out and impact the play by hitting somebody or getting in the way?
Yeah, so usually the preseason, if you're going to be a screen team, those games you call too many of them. You want to really call 5, 6, 7, 8 a game because that's your real opportunity to get really full speed to the ground reps in your screen game. Because in practice, you're not, as an offensive lineman, you're not throwing at defenders. You know, and when I say throw, these guys, when you get these linemen in space, to be a good screen team, you really want to just get out in space and throw your body at hips of defenders. Because at the end of the day, and I know you had, Paul, you had mentioned, oh, okay, they didn't necessarily block guys, but they made the defender run around them. That's all you want. That's really all you want is get that defender out of the way and allow your running back to go work. So it does take some time. I think that the reality, at least in my experience, is you're either good at screens or you're not. You can't force them. And so I would imagine that Tennessee will be good at them because of the athletic aspect of their offensive line. It also depends on, listen, when you call them, what kind of defense you're calling them against. Do you catch it against the blitz or is it against man? Where man, it's either a home run or it's a, you know, 5 yard loss. So that's part of it. I think that they've got the pieces to do it really well. I would imagine over these next 2 weeks, you're going to see as many, if not more, screens called and definite growth in that area. Because like I said, this is that opportunity for these teams to go throw at defenders and get a really good feel for it.
Former NFL quarterback Dan Orlovsky, our guest. Dan, as you might imagine, we have spent a lot of time discussing Corey Davis and his role within this offense. Is Taywan Taylor's role critical to Davis's success within this LaFleur offense?
Huge, huge. Taywan Taylor will have as much of an impact in that offense as anybody, and maybe outside of Marcus Mariota, and it may be just as impactful. Look at it like this. We all have seen the movies where, you know, there's a situation in the movie where there's a shootout or something like that. And one of the members will go, hey, I'm going to go. I need you to cover me. And you take one for the team, essentially. You say, hey, I got you. I'm going to take one for the team. It's not the glamorous position, but I know at the end of the day, it's going to be better for us. That's Taywan Taylor. He's going to have to bite the bullet at some times and be like, listen, Taywan, you're running this 50-yard, you know, whether it's a big post or go route or outside release, big ball, and it's unlikely you're going to get the ball, but it's opening up your buddies. And that's huge for our offense. And so your speed down the field, it can't be an 85% route. I need you to go 100% all the time on this. And not only is that going to be important, because what that's going to do is it's going to take the tops off the coverage. And such a big aspect, and I've said this to you guys, of this offense is that 18 to 22 yard throw, whether it's crossers or in routes or digs or big stop routes on the hash. So taking that speed and getting those top level defenders scared is only going to make the window bigger for Corey Davis, because the run game fake is going to get that second level defender to step up those linebackers. And then the top speed is going to get those safeties to open up. And now you have that huge window to make those throws. And then they're going to call big balls, like I'm talking about, 4, 5, 6 times a game. You're going to want Taywan Taylor to catch one of those every single game, because then that continuously puts on tape the fear of that big ball, that one play, 70-yard touchdown for those defensive coordinators and defensive backs to look at and go, wait, we gotta loosen up on the back end, which is only going to continuously create those windows to be bigger. So his role is going to be huge to stay healthy and then be effective.
This Titans offense we're talking about now gets 2 days of practice and a game against the Bucs. Wondering defensively what the Bucs do and what Mariota and the offense and LaFleur will be facing in terms of a changeup from what they've gotten used to.
Well, I think it's interesting because that's a really good test for their offensive line. I mean, nobody in the NFL added more pass rush or more sacks to their team than the Bucs did this offseason with the addition of Pierre Paul and Vinny Curry. You know, they added like 12 and a half or 13 sacks. So that's going to stress your offensive line. They've also got very dynamic linebackers, guys that can really do a nice job of, you know, playing the run and then getting in a panic drop and taking away those play action passes. So that'll be a very good test just for their offense. Like I said, guys up front, but then the how the run game and the play action are really being married together, and if it's having the impact that you want it to. So that's a good test for those couple of days of practice and then the game.
Dan LaFleur told us that he's not going to force three wide here, that it worked out that way in L.A., but 12 personnel or 21 personnel could be utilized more here. How flexible is this offense, and how will LaFleur work in personnel groups with the weapons that you see on paper?
Yeah, so one, I think that's really encouraging to hear if I'm a Tennessee fan, because that's a coach understanding exactly who he has and what he's working with and understanding, okay, I want to put my team in the best situation to be successful. You know, with Delanie Walker and Jonnu Smith, that makes a ton of sense. They've got the personnel to be in 12 a bunch, that two tight end package, and it can really do a lot. And you can do very similar things in 11 that you would want to do in 12. You can do a lot of the same stuff. The big question mark is, can one of those tight ends, you know, when we talked about Campanero and Nick Williams, a big part of it was I was talking about that first down, get open, easy completion offense. And it's not as simple as it sounds, because a lot of times those guys have to make decisions at the snap and post-snap. Okay, what's the coverage? Where's the soft spot in the zone? Let me get open. And so can one of those two tight ends be that slot receiver type guy that you can rely on, that Marcus Mariota can rely on to consistently make that right decision, whether he's going to run up 5 yards and break out, run up 5 yards, sit, run up 5 yards and catch a little angle route that we saw Nick Williams early on in that preseason game last week do. So that's the big question mark that I think LaFleur is going to have to go through, is one of those guys reliable enough to make that decision? Because in the reality, then if they are, 12 is actually a more favorable personnel, because then defenses have to make a decision how they're going to play that second tight end. Do they treat him as a tight end? If so, advantage pass game. Do they treat him as a receiver? If so, advantage run game. And so that's the question that he's got to figure out. And if they do, that's very, very advantageous for the offense.
And Delanie Walker certainly capable of running those routes and making those quick decisions, we would think, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He's such a veteran, and they have such a good rapport. I mean, I obviously catch up with everything that you guys put out on social media and see and read that relationship is continually growing. It's such an important part of that first down offense, though, because, like I said, it's either shots in the play-action game or get a completion. And it can't be, hey, we were 6 of 9 on this type stuff. You got to be 8 of 9, because that's such a big part of moving that offense forward. So I would imagine Delanie Walker can surely do that. But then the question is, can Jonnu Smith be the inline guy making some blocks in the run game? Because you don't want to have Delaney always in that receiver type 11 personnel split wherever you flex him out. Then teams are going to know, okay, more than likely a passing situation. So it's really getting both those guys to be somewhat interchangeable, and then having the one guy that you truly trust and moving him around.
Let's peek around the league a little bit. I'm very curious about John Gruden. Albert Breer wrote a really good piece that makes him sound a lot less archaic than he came off when he was talking about analytics early on. But what's your sense of Oakland at this stage, and what John Gruden's offense out of the league for so long is going to look like now?
Yeah, you know, I was actually out there for that game. I did some stuff for the Lions and pregame and half on post. And so one thing that stood out to me was how Oakland is very still, the traditional Oakland, and they're massive. I mean, a massive football team and massive wide receivers with Martavis Bryant, Cooper, and Jordy Nelson. I was really impressed with some of the stuff they did offensively. I thought they did a nice job of using some pre-snap motions and getting guys moving horizontally and then running a lot of stuff either downhill in the same side as that motion or away from it. And really what happens with that stuff is you're then getting things moving horizontally in front of guys, but then they have to react vertically. And that's really hard for a defender, just to see stuff, but also reacting. So stuff almost happening in four different ways. And so I was impressed with that. Derek Carr is very, very good. So, you know, for the small sample size that we had early on with at least their starters and what's going to be a somewhat part of their offense, I was impressed with what I saw.
Early indications about the Lions under Matt Patricia are kind of a tougher, more physical troop. What's your early impression of what they're going to be able to do for Matt Stafford and a run game that's been anemic for a long, long time?
Yeah, I mean, Patricia certainly brings some edge to them, and you can justify that being needed. You know, they've been such a pass-heavy offense, almost to like a detriment for their football team, because Matthew's so good in the run game, like you said, Paul, was so anemic. I've likened it to like this. If they can get a run game going that is efficient, it's almost like giving Stafford a second hand in a fist fight. I mean, he's had his hands tied behind his back, at least one, for such a long time. You know, that offensive line has got to make a huge step forward. I think it's, one, pushing people off the ball. I mean, you guys see a good offensive line down there. They move people off the ball. Scheme is scheme, but you got to move people. And the second thing, listen, Kerryon Johnson was drafted to be the guy. I know they've got LeGarrette and Theo Riddick and Amir Abdullah, but Kerryon Johnson, everyone knows, or at least in Detroit, they haven't had a 100-yard back since 2013. Well, Kerryon Johnson, Alabama, who they took out of Auburn in the second round, he put 100 on LSU, who was the 12th ranked defense in college football this year. He put 100 on Georgia, who was number 6, and he put 100 on Alabama, who was number 1. So he's certainly the guy that they have pegged to be that back that changes it for them. And if they do, that offense is endless.
Dan Orlovsky, our guest. Dan, finally, the Eagles made the jump in offensive production last year, 7-9 to Super Bowl champions. The scheme clicked. In short, which offense, quarterback, or scheme is poised to make the biggest step forward this year to you?
Yeah, I mean, I've obviously been outspoken about my thoughts on Tennessee down there, and I'm very encouraged with everything, and I still feel that way. Chicago's up there for me, and it's been since they made some of those moves to get Allen Robinson and Trey Burton, because I think that flex tight end is such a big deal for getting quarterbacks and man or zone information before the ball's ever snapped. They still have Jordan Howard, who's huge. I really think Cleveland's in a good place. I think David Njoku is, again, a tight end that's going to be in that flex role with Delaney Walker-ish, Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz. He's going to be huge for them, and he did some stuff really good in week one of the preseason. Tyrod Taylor's solid, underrated offensive line. Todd Haley's been an offensive coordinator in the NFL for 8 years, just as a coordinator. Say what you want about him as a head coach, but out of those 8 years, they've been in the top 10 in NFL offenses 7 out of 8 years. And so, as long as Jarvis Landry stays healthy, they've got some good backs that I like. If Josh Gordon could come back, I think Cleveland could really take a step forward offensively. Tampa Bay's in the mix as well. So there's some teams with some quarterbacks and some new players around that I'm really interested to watch.
Dan Orlovsky, phenomenal film analyst, among the first, not among the first. We talked to him right when Matt LaFleur was hired from Radio Row at the Super Bowl. He told us immediately the things to start looking for and anticipating with Matt LaFleur's offense. We're seeing a lot of that come to fruition now. Dan, we really appreciate your time. We look forward to having you back soon and hopefully regularly. And again, thanks.
I appreciate you guys having me. Always fun.